Let me invite you over to the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 23. Judges, chapter 6, verse 23. Judges, chapter 6, verse 23 reads this way. It says, "And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege of assembling together and opening your word. And Lord, we ask that you would bless it with your Holy Spirit, that he might guide us into your truths, that we might hear from you and worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, that you might be glorified, and again, that our lives might be the witness by your grace that you've called us to be. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the full assurance of eternal life, Lord, you speak to their hearts, convict them of that need, that even today would be the day that they would know you. Again, Lord, bless your word, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Peace Be Unto Thee. Amen. Peace be unto thee. We celebrate today our independence of our nation. And America, really, in our lifetime, I'm convinced, is the greatest refuge of freedom to all peoples. Don't you believe that? Listen, when I was a young fella in the 70s and in the 80s, anybody and everybody that I ever heard about wanting to leave their country for freedom or for a better life, where would they go? They came over here. And it's not because of us as individuals. It's because of God that has given to us the freedoms and the liberties that we so enjoy. And here's the truth. No matter what the atmosphere of our nation or other nations is, we can have that peace and that freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really what he wants us to understand. So this morning, we're going to look at really where freedom comes from. And with that said, I want to just focus in on about four thoughts here. And that is, first of all, the presence of the Lord. And then secondly, a revelation of our might. We need to have that. And then the need for confirmation, and then also a revelation of God. And so as we consider this, let me back you up to verse 11 here, and I want you to understand the presence of the Lord. Now, listen, we're probably familiar with this story here concerning Gideon and what he did for the Lord, but I want you to know it's what God did through Gideon that made all the difference, and God had to do some things in the life of Gideon, and he reveals some things here that maybe Gideon didn't even know at this particular moment in his life. Look at verse 11. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah," notice, "that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." The Lord's there already. Gideon's getting ready to get on the scene. Listen, everywhere we go, I want you to know the Lord is already there. Sometimes we feel like we're by ourselves, but I want you to know the Lord, God wants us to know the Lord is already there. So here's Gideon, and he's approaching. The Lord was the first one there. And then notice verse 12, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him." This is Gideon, who's really hiding from the Midianites, trying to thresh his wheat here. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now, listen, he's saying that to a man who's hiding. And that's an important truth to understand. And I think Gideon understands what's going on here as he speaks to the Lord. But he has some questions and he also has some concerns. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had questions for the Lord? Maybe have you had some concerns for God? That's not a bad place. That's a good place. Listen, when we have questions for the Lord, we ought to ask God for the answers. And God wants to give us these answers. So we find here concerning the presence of the Lord. The Lord was there before even Gideon was there. Now he calls him this mighty man of valor. And then look at verse 13. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord." Now listen, it's an angel of the Lord. He understands the presence of the Lord, but he does not know really it's God incarnate here. And you'll see that here in just a moment. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us," this is his concern, "why then is all this befallen us?" They're not in a good place as a nation. They're being oppressed.
And notice, where be all the miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. But you know, here's the truth. The Lord knew what was taking place. But there was a question in the heart of Gideon. He said, listen, we've heard all these stories of how you've delivered Israel. And now as we look at it, we don't see the deliverance. That's a good place to be. When we consider all that the Word of God is telling you and I as believers, and it's not lining up with the Word of God, we ought to say and ask ourselves, what is the problem? What is going on? Instead of just meandering through life, he could have just said, well, this is just the way it is, couldn't he? He could have just, well, I just better make the best of it. And that's not where God wants us to be. So when you look at the Word of God and you see a conflict or a contradiction, we need to stop and say, God, what is going on? What is the problem? And God wants us to understand. Listen, is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? And he never changes, right? So if there's a contradiction or a conflict with the Word of God, he's doing something. And he's trying to get our attention for you and I to say, what's going on? And so here he is, and Gideon's in this place. And here, look, he is in an honest, upfront situation with the Lord. Aren't you glad that's our God? God's not looking for our perfection. And you'll see that here in just a moment. God's not even looking for our strength. You know what he's looking for? Our trust in him. Our faith in him. And he is the builder of that faith. By the way, he's the bestower of that faith. If you and I did not know Jesus Christ, would it ever be possible for us to have faith in Christ? No, if we didn't know him. So who's the revealer? Who's the one that revealed the Lord Jesus Christ? It was God's plan. And so now that he's revealed that, he says, if you see a conflict or a contradiction, that there ought to be a concern and a question that we ought to have for God. So notice here, I want you to see. So he's asking, what's the problem here? Now God's going to give him a revelation of our might. So he just called him a great man of valor. Now watch this. Look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. He called him a mighty man of valor, and he's hiding. And he says, go in this thy might. Now this is important, because the Lord's getting ready to reveal to him, and he's getting ready to confess his might. Was he really a mighty man of great strength in himself? Not at all. He was the one that was hiding. But what God is wanting him to translate or to transition to is that if God has given you a promise, you can count on it. The strength of the Lord will be with you. If God has called you and I to be a holy people for his honor and glory, is he expecting us to do that by ourselves? Can we make ourselves holy? Can we sanctify ourselves? Can we be the light of God in our own strength? Never. And so notice what's going on right here. Verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now that's the whole key right there. God sent him to do it. But I want you to understand, listen, God has sent you and I also to be the light of the world. God has sent you and I not to be of the world, we're in it, but we're to be his light. And if we're his light, that's obvious that we're not our own light. So he says, listen, go in this thy might. And this is an important confession that a believer has to have. And I believe every believer had come to this conclusion. We talked about it even Wednesday night, how Abraham and Sarah, who are in the faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, also had to come to the very same conclusion that it was God or it's not going to happen. So notice verse 15, Gideon. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? That's a good question. O Lord, how am I going to be your light? Lord, how am I going to be a holy person? How is that going to be? Behold, he says, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He says, my goodness, we're the poorest of the poor, and if you come down to me, I'm the last one. not just, listen, the least of all my siblings, of all my family. You know what he's saying? You've called the wrong person. Obviously, you don't know who you have in your hands. Wait a minute, he's called you and I too if we're saved. And here's the truth. Doesn't God know who he holds in his hands? And it's because of his grace that he enables us to do great things for his honor and glory. Gideon had to come to that. By the way, you and I also have to come to that. So he tells him, I'm the least in my father's house. Notice verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Do you understand what's going on right there? He is giving him confidence. Where is his strength to be? What was Gideon's problem? He was saying, look, Lord, look at me. He's telling God who created him to consider who he is. God already knew that. But you know who didn't know that? Gideon. Gideon, see, there's a big disconnect or misunderstanding. Gideon is saying, you expect me to do it? And God's saying, no. No. Do you think God expects us to be holy? No. Do you think God expects us to be the light of the world? No. God expects his light to shine through your life and mine by his grace, not our power. So Gideon is looking at himself and saying, man, you're not seeing me the way I know I am. And God says, I know exactly who you are and I see you, but I want you to understand where your strength is coming from. And he says this to him, verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, and by the way, this is a revelation of his might. The Lord said to them, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now, he doesn't even know the story yet. He doesn't even know how he's going to be whittled down to just 300 men, does he? Now, why didn't God just start him off with the 300 men? Why did he allow him to get all those other thousands of men together? Because there's a process. God understands sometimes we're not ready to get the whole load right now of what he's going to do. That's why when he came into Peter's boat after he'd fished all night and caught nothing, what was the first, did he say, Peter, go back out there and launch out into the deep? We're going to catch some fish? No, he says, listen, just thrust out a little bit and I'm going to speak a message. And then after he spoke a message, he says, now, after you've been out here and listening to the word of God and understanding who I am a little bit better, now, and he still had some troubles, didn't he? And so he said, Lord, we fished all night, and the Lord said, let down your nets, plural, but nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to let down the net. And listen, when the fish came up, when he was drawing the fish, he couldn't have caught any more fish. God used a little bit of faith. Listen, this is important. God used the little bit of faith he was willing to give God for a full blessing. He doesn't work like we think. You know what we think? Well, you didn't really obey and let down all your nets. You just let down one net, so I'm just going to bless you with some fish. No, no, no. His boat began to sink. And he called his partners over. And what happened? What happened when they came to shore? What did he see, Peter? He fell down at his feet, and, oh, Lord, that's our thinking. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. That's a good confession. And then God gave a revelation. Fear not, Peter, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. What is that? The mercy and grace of God. Do you know that we're harder on ourselves than God is? We think less of ourselves. God, listen, this is the truth. We think less of ourselves than God does. How do I know that? Let me tell you how much God thinks of you and I. He gave us his son while we were his enemies, as we learned this morning in Sunday school. He gave us his son that we might be brought into his family. Isn't that good? That's where God wants us. Listen, is God willing that any should perish? We are so distracted about piddly things that are temporal and passing away. Our nation is distracted, and the devil's got us there. Because here's the truth. You won't hear this. There's only one race. It's called the human race. The Bible says we're all of one blood. That's the word of God. Do you know how much freedom we would have if we would receive that truth in our country today? All the bickering and the fighting would stop. See, we need a revelation about who we are and who God is. And here's the good news. God wants to give it. So the Lord just told him, hey, listen, I'm going to be with you. You don't have anything to worry about. You will. Listen, the word of God. Look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, I think I might be with you. Is that what he said? He didn't say maybe, did he? He said, surely I will be with thee. And did he say, maybe you'll smite the Midianites? No, he said, thou shalt, you will, as one man. Listen, this is important, because that truth sat with him when he got whittled down to 300. We're going to be one man. God said so. See, that's called faith. Holding on to the word of God and stepping forward even when I don't feel like it. Even when it doesn't feel like it is so. I walk in that. The world is under the prince and power of the air, which is Satan. And what he's trying to do to every child of God is rob him of the truths and treasures and promises of God. And trying to get us to believe the lies that he's bombarding out there in the world. And so many believers today are powerless. Not because God's powerless, but because we're not looking to the truth. So now God wants to give him a confirmation. There's a need for that, and God knows it. So look at verse 17. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. I got to make sure I'm not just imagining this. I need you to do something for me. He says, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come to thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. This is God. He doesn't know this yet. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes. He's giving him what he knows is an offering unto the Lord. Of an ephah flour, notice the flesh he put in the basket, and he put the broth in the pot, and behold, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. So he presents it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh. This is communication. This is God's confirmation. He brought him a sacrifice, and now God is using this sacrifice. Listen, that's an important sacrifice. That's an important confirmation. We have to be willing to bring God what he said he wanted, and that is that we might present ourselves before him a living sacrifice. Okay, God, here I am. I want you to know I can't live holy. I want you to know I can't be your light, but Lord, here I am. Now God's going to take it and do something with it and show us something that we've never seen before. Has Gideon ever seen what's getting ready to take place? No, is it possible that God has something to show you and I that we've never seen before? Amen. All right, so watch this. So he takes it there, and the angel of the Lord in verse 20, the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth, and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Notice, then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Did he give him a confirmation? Remember what Gideon said? Look, Lord, I'm going to give you. Let me know. If we present ourselves and say, okay, God, I'm not holy, but you are. You make me holy. You give me the right thoughts. You give me the heart and your mercy and grace that I might see you working in me so that I don't walk away and say, man, I'm pretty good. but that we say, oh God, I know that's not me. I know that's you. Is that not what Gideon was asking for? Help me to know that I'm hearing what I'm hearing and seeing what I'm seeing. Now watch this. God gives him a revelation. First, listen, he had to give him a revelation of his might. Gideon had to come to the place to where he realized he couldn't do it. Here's the problem. That's where Christians stop today. I can't do it. And they give up on God. Question, will they ever see the hand of God? No. And let me just tell you that. That is a miserable, boring life. With the absence of God. I mean, after all, isn't Christianity the presence of God? According to the Word of God. Listen, what makes the difference in our faith and all the other false faiths that are out there? The presence of God. What made the difference in the life of Abraham? Was it Abraham or was it the presence of God? What made the difference in the life of Moses? Was it Moses or the presence of God? Amen. What made the difference in the life of Paul, Peter, Apollos, and all those other ones? They said, hey, listen, don't look at us. We're just the servants of God. But it was God that was making the difference. So here's the question this morning. Is God making a difference in your life? Not in what we're doing for Him, but what He's doing and wants to do for us. That we might step back and say, oh my God and my Savior, the difference you make in my life. May I tell you, that's the witness of God. That's where the peace comes from. That's where the world looks on and says, and I'm not talking about fabricating it, I'm talking about God allowing us to experience it. Do you think Gideon went home that night any different at all than when he started? Where was he when he started? He was afraid, wasn't he? Do you think he was given a new direction, a new purpose, a strengthened faith in all that he has heard? So here's the question. Does God want to give that to you and I as believers? We did say he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then sometimes if we're not careful, well, oh my goodness, but you don't understand me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, well, wait a minute. If we say you don't know me and we're not allowing God to do something, obviously there's a disconnect in our understanding, isn't there? Last thought, revelation of God. So, verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. He says, I'm a goner. I was in the very presence of God. Verse 23. And the Lord, not some man, and the Lord. Do you know God wants to speak to us through His Word? And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Don't you love it? Didn't Jesus say that? My peace I give unto you, not the peace of the world. I don't know that believers are really experiencing the peace of the world. That means we don't panic when the news comes on and says some gobbledygook. Because our trust in the news? Is that what moves us? It ought to be the Lord. The problem is we spend more time with the news than we do the Word of God. Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. And in verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there. What's that? Worship. Then Gideon, nobody talked to him. Nobody, listen, did God tell him build an altar? He was worshiping. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Orpha of the Abiezerites. Peace be unto thee from God this morning, if you'll have it and if you'll seek it. The invitation is the Lord's. The opportunity is ours and the choice. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your truth and the truths that you reveal to us and want to reveal to us. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may they realize it comes first through salvation, understanding, Lord, by your conviction, our condemnation. We're born sinners. We're born condemned. But you've come not to condemn us, but to give us eternal life. You paid the price by shedding your blood and dying on the cross in our behalf. And all we have to do is by faith believe you and trust you and receive that truth. And then, Lord, for those of us who are saved, are you living through our life? Are you being the testimony that pulls down the lies that are all around us, that the world might see the mercy and love of God? Today, you've given to us an invitation to enjoy that liberty and freedom that is found in you and you alone, and that power. Bless the invitation. May you be honored and glorified, and we'll praise and thank you. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.